Youth in Agbledome are leaving. They are not leaving because of the riding ties that are destroying neighboring communities. No, no, no. They are leaving in search of work.
It's like they don't have any work to do, so they are travel to go and find work to do.
Agbledome is a coastal community in Ghana's Volta region. Farming, harvesting mangroves, and fishing in the Volta River estuary are the ways people earn a living here. But climate change and land access is hurting the sustainability of mangrove groves in this community. A farm radio production team visited Agbledome to learn what you can do when the resources that pay you stop growing back. The answer may just be found in nature. Welcome to Nature Answers, where we explore stories of how communities in rural Africa are working with nature to adapt to the climate crisis. For this episode again, I am your host, Martin Mogem. Yeah, today we are back in Ghana. And today we are visiting Agbledome, a community along the coast. They are struggling to find a balance between a healthy mangrove harvest and an environment that supports future generations. Mangroves are trees that live in coastal intertidal zones. They can grow in salty water and can survive changing tides. Harvesting mangroves has been a source of income in Agbledome for many years. But harvesting mangroves hurts the estuary environment. How, you may ask me? Crabs thrive in the stringy roots of the bush like red mangroves, and birds perch in the branches of the thicker trunked white mangroves. Mangroves have widespread ecological benefits. How? They boost biodiversity first. They can provide oxygen and also prevent coastal erosion. And since last year, the Agbledome community has planted mangroves to try to rehabilitate the estuary for future generations.
Okay, my name is Major Kamasa. From this
32-year-old Major Kamasa is a teacher, a student, and a farmer. He pulls out his phone to show us a video from a recent mangrove planting session. Some people cut into the marsh with cutlasses, while others plant the germinated mangrove seeds into the mud. Major is involved in a major way in planting mangroves in Agbledome.
This is my community. So if there's something to develop the community, it must start from me.
Major is actually a member of the region's Community Resource Management Area Group. The Community Resource Management Area Model of Ghana is a strategy for protecting natural resources. The Forestry Commission of Ghana designed the model to give community ownership over environmental initiatives. So how does this work? Communities establish a collectively owned conservation zone. They are the ones to do that. Then, they elect a group of representatives to manage them. The one in Agbledome has been running since 2019. That's when a Ghana-based organization called the Development Institute visited Agbledome to consult about setting up the community resource management area. In the process, they held education sessions where the community learned about the power of mangroves as carbon sinks. What does that mean? The mangroves can pull carbon out of the air and store it in their branches, roots, and even the ground. This can help slow climate change, and their impact is also big. According to the Mangrove Action Project, Mangroves sequester as much as 5 times more carbon per hectare than tropical forest. Yes. And after these meetings, the community decided to take the project on because the information they received were vital. Agbledomi's mangrove plantation is a plot of marshland connected to the riverside of the estuary. There, the resource group aims to help repair the environment and boost the economy. Members go to the plantation themselves to work.
So when we go to the field, when the seeds drop, they drop under the tree. So we pick it and we plant it direct. Those that drop earlier, some will already germinate. So those who germinate, the ones that germinated and the ones that are in the seed stage, we pick all of them and we plant all of them.
This is Gabriel Ayianyu. He works with Major as Vice Chair of the Resource Management Group. He says he was elected because of his knowledge of the mangroves. Our production team met him at the crops he was watering while he took a break. A local broadcaster that Farm Radio works with helped us as an interpreter. Gabriel told us the history of the estuary and the community resource management area. Gabriel says the ecological troubles all link back to the Akozombo Dam, and this dam is a big deal. Why? Because it brought electricity to many people when they opened it in 1965. According to the Institute of Civil Engineers, the Akozombo Dam provides Ghana with 85% of the country's electricity. It is also a critical power source for neighboring countries. Before the 1960s, the estuary fed Agbledomi through fishing. But this fishing activity has been on a slow downswing. Locals reported mass die-offs of fish and crab. When fishing first became harder, people turned to selling mangroves.
Because of Akosovo Dam, creation of the Akosovo Dam, 1962, there's no flowing of the water from that time. So our family, all over the people, have started planting the mangrove as a commercial business for them.
People primarily buy mangroves for cooking firewood, but Gabriel says there are other uses too. Before materials like metal and concrete became popular, people even built homes out of mangroves. Historically, these plants have been fundamental for life, but over-harvesting became an increasing concern for Gabriel. And it made the fishing even worse. Some fish and clams lay their eggs in the fresher water of the estuary. Here, this reproductive cycle depends on healthy mangrove roots. In 2016, the government banned fishing during the egg-laying season. The closed season lasts 1 month for semi-industrial fishers and 2 months for larger operations. But Gabriel is not confident at all. He's not confident that closed season alone will replenish the fish population. Over time, the Akozombo Dam caused a sandbar to develop at the mouth of the estuary. Studies point out this problem, like a 2017 report to the Water Resources Commission. In the past, seawater would flow in and out of the estuary with the daily tides. The circuit kept the balance of salt and fresh water intact at the estuary. Now, the sandbar disrupts this balance and prevents fish from traveling to the estuary to lay eggs. Gabriel switches back to Ewe here, so you'll hear his call to action through an interpreter.
Nyeba
So right now, even though the government has started implementing closed season for the fishing people, we will say it's not beneficial because the fishes in there, they are no longer bringing forth their offsprings as they used to. So if they won't open the estuary for us, we are afraid a time will come we will be short of fishes. Even when our fishermen, even when they go fishing, they will not get anything.
Gabriel hopes the government's Volta River Authority will step in to remove the sandbar at the mouth of the river. But in the meantime, he's trying to rehabilitate the entire estuary, one mangrove plant at a time. If you have been listening to Nature Answers for a little while, you know nature-based solutions are taking the lessons we learn from nature to benefit the environment and communities at the same time. For example, like mangrove trees being able to filter water and provide habitat for fish. But ideally, nature-based solutions to climate change should not only be ecologically effective, but also socially good. This rehabilitation project belongs to everyone in the community rather than individuals. In recent years, more powerful individuals have claimed the marshland with the remaining supply of mangroves. They have limited access to the marshes, making it more difficult to make money at the estuary. Some young people who come from families of mangrove harvesters are turning away from the practice altogether. Major Kamaza, who you heard from at the start, is 32 years old. We met him at an outdoor community center. He is the secretary of the resource management group. Major recalls the first time he planted mangroves for commercial sales as a preteen with his father.
And when I was young, I planted some early on. Without the land is not mine, but I decided to do so. And it grows to extent, we cut it and sell it. But because of the way the system now, people are claiming the places. As for them, you cannot fight with them.
Mangroves take 5 to 10 years to be ready for harvest. Major's father taught him it was a way of investing in his future. Major showed us the estuary from a small motor boat, pointing out changes in the water. Major's vision of a secure economic future is part and parcel with a healthy environment. Today, Major both teaches teenage students and farms for a living. He has no children for now, and while he plants mangroves, he no longer harvests them. Like many young professionals across the world, Major is concerned about climate change. I must admit that I am concerned. He knows harvesting mangroves contributes to the problem, but many other people cannot opt out of mangrove harvesting. Mangroves are used for key aspects of daily life, such as smoking fish to eat, and you can imagine the taste of smoking fish.
Firstly, as I said, that's what people do to survive. They use them for smoking, and then some use them, and they sell them to make their money and to support the education system.
In the long run, Major hopes planting the mangroves will increase the fish population so that people can move away from harvesting mangroves and return to fishing for income. Like nature-based solutions, one thing that is distinct about the community resource management area model is that it recognizes community rights to economically benefit from the natural resources they are restoring. As you may have noticed, saying community resource management area every time is a mouthful. Major uses the acronym CREME to shorten the name when speaking about how a community harvest would be unique.
Surely when the CREME decide to harvest, and they have to sit down how they sell it, after that they have to call meeting, call the society, what they got and how they will use it in the development of the community.
This project's primary goal is to revive the wider ecosystem, but it also responds to land inequality by expanding ownership to the whole community. As part of this process, chiefs donated land to the community resource management area and gave up also their monopoly on mangroves in that zone. We also spoke with Agbledome Chief Thorbi Azemeti III. He was among the people who donated land to the project. He welcomes efforts to revive the estuary.
Yeah.
Yes, I supported them in every aspect that chief need to support its community, especially a group that will fight for the livelihood of the people. I also support them. I also buy into the idea through the explanation that they brought to me, especially the Krima group, that the plantation of the mangroves, and talking to some of them, bringing the idea of opening of the estuary and other things that will bring the life as the way it was before the blockage.
He notes that he is proud that people of Agbledome helped with community labor project. Everyone our team spoke with referenced participating in one community labor project or another, either directly or by bringing water and food to those who were doing hard labor. Everyone is expected to participate, but taking on an executive role for the resource management area goes beyond casual participation. In the community center, Major shares why he bothers with all this. You have already heard part of this clip, but let's replay it.
This is my community. So if there should be something to develop the community, it must start from me.
We are outside and the wind kicks up as he says this. We are really sorry, but I wanted you to hear him say community development must start from him in the same way we heard him saying it. He's soft-spoken, looking at his hand, and later on he told us that he does not want to make this interview all about him. He wants to focus on the importance of mangrove restoration. His sense of social responsibility is rooted in high stakes. If the estuary cannot be revived, more people may have to live in search of work.
I'm just managing. That's what I'm saying. I just don't want to leave. I want to be here and do what I can do as a human person here to support the environment or the community for now.
Even without any guarantees, Major is willing to pour his time and effort into reviving his community because he loves it. For him, capturing carbon and reviving the estuary is a key part of that picture. As a Mexigisti Sao is another community member who contends with uncertainty about the future.
It's like they don't have any work to do, so they are travel to go and find work to do. If it's like some work is here to do, I think they are not going far to anyway. They'll stay here and do it.
And please, do you want to stay in this community?
I like to stay here, but because of there's no work, that's it.
The 29-year-old is a mother of two children aged 4 years and 4 months old. We met her at the same outdoor community center. As Amexi spoke her mind at the Development Institute's community engagement meetings about the project, but she's a casual volunteer. She learned about the first planting session when a car with supplies rolled into town. As is expected, she jumped in to do her part in the day's community labor.
From the beginning, people come with car and then the thing. So I joined them and they asked me to bring water. Yeah, that's how I followed them to go and plant.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do that?
Oh, it's like it's community, so I decided to join them.
The volunteers on the executive are key to organizing the mangrove rehabilitation project, but so are the people who follow their lead. As Amexi hopes the community will profit off these mangroves when they are matured. As our team begins to wrap up the interview, as Amexi notes, she expects the number of casual planters to drop if there is no incentive to work. She, on the other hand, plans to carry on. She switches to Ewe to explain how she sees it. So you'll hear this part through an interpreter.
No, my life, my brother, business.
Personally, I'll join any group or I'll join anybody that comes in for us to go and plant this mangrove, because no one knows tomorrow. And maybe at the end of it, if I didn't get it today, not me, my children also will benefit from those.
She notes she would rather see the benefits sooner than later. But still, she puts the work in today because she wants this project and any benefits that come to carry on to the next generation. Matilda Sedofia is the treasurer of the Community Resource Management Area Executive. The 45-year-old single mother of four is a seamstress and a farmer. She does not make money from mangroves personally. Her mind is on the community's future.
My children are going to private school, and I make sure they had a good education since I'm not that well educated. And I want them to pass where or to reach where I haven't reached.
Matilda says she thinks she was elected as the resource management group's treasurer because of her experience managing money. We wanted to get her perspective on the short and long-term benefits to see how they stack up against the upfront work community members are doing. Matilda says she would like to give compensation for planting that is done outside designated community labor time. But at the moment, there's no funding to make that happen.
When you look at the other way, if it were a day that were reserved for communal labor, that we use that day to go out and do that, you all know that that was a very day we must use for communal labor. That was used to plant the mangroves. But a day that people need to go out and go and do something, you occupy that space, you need to free that space. Not with something like all of them to be happy, but something like to put joy in their face. So,
however, Matilda thinks these mangroves are worth the work, even without an upfront payoff. The environmental benefits she learned about at the Development Institute engagement meeting are motivation enough. Because the current situation is severing the social ties that keep Abledomi together. Some young people are living in search of work. Others have to care for themselves when their parents have to find work out of town. She says the educational value of the community goes down when this happens. And for Matilda, the estuary is the start and end of these troubles. As for the future, the community will have to decide when, how, and if the community-owned mangroves will be harvested. As Amexi would like to see the mangroves become a community business, but the project's leadership is more focused on how the community resource management area will improve the quality of life in Agbledomi for years to come.
It's a new group we form, and the group is so young. There's no plan about harvesting. We haven't dreamed about harvesting the mangroves yet. So no one thought of it in the group. Our main target is to plant it, see to it to grow for the beneficiary of the society.
The community will have to answer the harvesting question. But until then, the mangroves will help the estuary ecosystem just by existing. They will capture carbon, provide a barrier to rising tides, and promote the health of fish and crabs that people eat. In the years to come, Agbledomi will learn just how much these environmental heavy hitters can give back to the community that plants and protects them. Don't we always say that nature has the answer? This is Nature Answers from Farm Radio International. You can learn more about nature-based solutions and the people implementing them by subscribing to Nature Answers wherever you get your podcast. You can learn more about nature-based solutions and people implementing them by subscribing to Nature Answers wherever you get your podcast. Find picture of Major, Gabriel, and the others in Agbledomi on our website at farmradio.org/natureanswers. You also find the transcripts and more about nature-based solutions. You can also follow us on social media, Farm Radio. Please do us a favor and share Nature Answers with your friends and family. We'd love to spread the word. Until next time, I'm your host, Martin Morgan, coming to you from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
This episode was written and produced in Ghana by myself, Morgana Adby, with help from Farm Radio International's office based in Accra, Ghana. For me, this reporting experience showcased how building relationships, especially as an outsider, is essential to fostering shared understandings about big picture issues. I hope listeners will appreciate how these sources did us all a great service by candidly discussing the economics of this project. The sounds were recorded on location by myself, Christopher Edwards, and Manuel Backlin. We joined as part of an internship program with Carleton University School of Journalism. Interpretation was provided by Raymond Buckner and Samuel Dolvo. This episode was edited by Tara Spinkerhoff. Farm Radio compensated community members who participated in these interviews. Our podcast would exclude many important perspectives if we only interviewed those who could afford to step away from their economic activities without compensation. This podcast was produced thanks to funding from the Government of Canada.